Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Southampton Football Club has been expelled from the Championship after the whole Spygate scandal. They also received a points deduction, meaning they're going to begin next season 4 points worse off. Middlesbrough facing Hull now in Saturday's playoff final for the right to join the Premier League next season. Let's get the latest on this with John Bruin from The Guardian. Hello, John.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. Who would have thought it? When we spoke about this first, when we had the photograph of the man behind the tree, that we'd end up here. Were you surprised last night when the news emerged?
Oh, yes, yes. I was at Bournemouth last night, Bournemouth against Manchester City, and yeah, sent shockwaves around the press box. You know, I mean, I suppose the punishment was likely, but quite stark to see it when it did happen. You know, the adventures of young master William Salt have taken quite a turn, haven't they?
They certainly have. Were you? Yeah. Do you think it was a fair punishment?
As far as I know, the fact that Southampton also admitted to other offences would suggest that, and probably did that to try and get some kind of clemency, suggests that, you know, it's been systemic, and in that case, the EFL almost has to protect itself because they would be facing all types of legal action from Middlesbrough in particular, and maybe other clubs besides. One thing to say about the EFL, and fans of many clubs that have been in those divisions will tell you, their punishments are draconian. Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds, you name any club that's fallen into financial difficulties are hammered. Very different to the Premier League. You know, we've had that recent punishment for Chelsea, which seemed rather light considering that it was admitted that there'd been, you know, 10 years of malfeasance. And then, of course, the Manchester City charges, which, of course, we await and may never happen. But yeah, the EFL, don't mess around. And perhaps that ought to have been borne in mind.
So just because it does sound as though Southampton went into that hearing with their hands up and said, yeah, we did this. Not only that, but here are the other things that we did. Will you tell us about the other things that they have admitted to?
Yeah, well, they spied on Oxford. I think they spied at Oxford because they'd had a change of manager, and then they spied at Ipswich. Now, one of them involved, the spy, less James Bond than Rowan Atkinson's Johnny English, wearing the kit of Eastleigh, who's a local team to Southampton, a sort of non-league team. It's all very ham-fisted, isn't it? And I mean, obviously, when the reports came out, it was of this high-tech spying. And one of the issues is supposedly, as part of their submissions, Tonda Eckert, the Southampton manager, says he didn't realise that this was against the rules. Now, in UK law and Irish, I'm sure, ignorance is no defence, of course.
Yes.
And that's at the heart of it. So I think Southampton are shocked, and there is still, as we speak, some element of appeal going through, which has led to a very strange situation where the EFL have announced that the kickoff is 3:30 if it's Hull Middlesbrough, and 4:30 should Southampton be reinstated. reinstated on Saturday. I think that's to do with the trains. We have a big problem with public transport. In fact, the trains in the east of the country are actually on replacement bus services. So that's just, you know, it further speaks to the issues we have of infrastructure over in England. But yeah, it's such a complicated mess. And beyond when this goes, the ramifications are going to be deep. There's already talk of perhaps the Southampton players suing the club for their negligence in allowing this to happen, because players that are in the Premier League earn 40% more wages. They took a wage cut as part of relegation.
Of course. And there will be... That's a really interesting angle on it. So they could just say, you're the reason that we're in this situation with 40% less cash in the bank. Therefore, you pay the price.
Quite, yeah. And it's a big test of, football's regulations are liberal, loose at best. And eventualities like this sometimes, will happen. And how stringent are the laws around this stuff? It is a real mess. Southampton have got themselves into a terrible bind. And if you think of Tonda Ekert, now, if you'd have called me 2 weeks ago, I'd have told you that he's one of the best young coaches in the game and bigger clubs are looking at him. His reputation is mud. I don't imagine he'll be managing the club. As for young Master Salt, I suggest his internship has come to an end and it's probably time for, go and find himself on a beach in Thailand or something like that.
Might be a bad idea. So do we know then that it was the manager who came up with this really naive, stupid plan to send Mr. Salt out to do these things?
Yes, I believe
it was him. It was the manager. Off you go and put the kit on, what a mess. We had this conversation the last time, John. I still feel sorry for William Salt because he was just an intern, wasn't he? So, if an intern's told to do something, they'll probably more than likely not question it.
Well, maybe an intern more than an actual employee, that's the thing, isn't it? They really want to impress. He probably wanted a permanent job. Yeah. This was his chance to impress, to get in with real football men, and it's gone wrong. It's gone wrong this story is amazing. We say unprecedented a lot in the football game, but I think this really is. It really is.
So then you said you were at the Bournemouth-Man City match last night, the result of which determined that Arsenal would, rise to the top after, 22 years. What was the vibe like at that match last night?
Well, I suppose one thing to say is that because it meant Bournemouth qualified for Europe for the first time in their history, so it's a celebratory, but of course, the big question, the elephant in the room that Manchester City, as it stands, refused to confirm, is that Pep Guardiola is leaving.
Yeah.
Quite an interesting press conference. Before it, there was this word that he would not be accepting questions on his future. Clearly, they can't tell journalists what to ask, but the questions were asked repeatedly. He was evasive at best. And said, I will speak to the chairman, Khaldun El-Mubarak, Ferran Soriano, who's the chief exec, and then he will decide. Now, as far as anyone there who is relatively well informed, that decision is already made. There is the report in my publication, The Guardian, that he's already told the players, but we await the big decision. There's a celebration party on Monday at the Co-op Arena, which is adjacent to the Etihad Stadium. It will be a bit strange for Manchester City, having won so much over the decade Pep's been in charge, to just hold a party for a League Cup and an FA Cup. Feels like a big send-off.
It does. I felt last night, John, watching his post-match interview, that there was just that aura of resignation about him in more ways than one. That he checked out, really,
Yes, that's right. And at Bournemouth, you're lucky and you sit very close to the managers, and Pep was nearest to us. And I mean, he's a fascinating figure. So you spend a lot of time watching him. There was a sort of downcast, solemn, I think defeatist is the correct term, just as though the end of the road has been reached. And it's been quite a road, disputed by many people, of course. And I mentioned the charges before. We'll have to see how those play out. But he is always a fascinating figure. He's dominated English football in so many ways. For it to end like that, they say, don't they, all political careers end in failures. Football careers don't necessarily end in failure, but it feels like City have fallen short this season. We should congratulate Arsenal, of course, who have got the job done, have had to fight through their own anxieties, hang-ups. And, you know, I wasn't in London last night, but I believe the streets were
full. I see from the pictures. John, we'll leave it there for now. I'm delighted to talk to you again about the unprecedented, as you say yourself, used a lot in football, but certainly is the case when it comes to what happened in Southampton. John Bruin there from The Guardian.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.